Crazy. I love you people, man. I love our house, man. I love our family. For, you know, I felt like, you know, people know my heart, but amen, hallelujah. For everybody who's new, I just wanted to kind of share my heart today before I got into this message. So today, I don't want you guys to mistake my passion for anger or my boldness for judgment. Listen, I'm not up here today to condemn anyone. I'm only up here because I love what God loves. And I want what God wants. Today, my desire is not to be harsh, but I am going to be unapologetic. And this is an apology. This is just so you know my heart. See, I want to say this, that I know today's kind of message can be very painful for some people. Especially when people realize something they were taught their whole life doesn't line up with Scripture. Listen, that pain's real, and none of us like being wrong, and none of us like being corrected, but it's hard to face biblical truth sometimes, especially with the things that we were taught, or the things that we've inherited. Listen to me, things that you've inherited. In many cases, people have passed down these traditions, not with the intentions to deceive anybody. That was not their intentions. They thought they were doing the right thing. How do I know this? Because at one point, I did the same thing. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying people are bad. I'm saying some traditions are bad. I'm saying some doctrines don't align up with the Bible. And when God, by His mercy, begins to show us those things, we have a responsibility to humble ourselves before His Word. Not our opinions, not what makes us comfortable, but His Word. And see, listen, we have to understand what deception is. Deception, by its very nature, is not something you recognize. That's what makes it deception. In The Bondage Breaker, it says, some people say, you know, I'm a good Christian. How can I be deceived? But Eve was sinless in the garden before she ate the fruit, and she was deceived. Good people can be deceived. And when they're deceived, they don't know it. They don't know it. Good people can be wrong. Honest people can be in error. And when they are deceived, by definition, they can't know until God brings truth into the light. But once again, it is our responsibility, once He brings the truth into the light, to stand on the truth. So listen, when you guys see me get passionate today, don't think it's because I think I'm above anybody. It's because the truth matters to me. Amen. Ephesians 4 says to speak the truth in love. And 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth. I want us to walk in truth. I want us to be free in the truth. I want us to be shaped by what God has said, not merely what's been handed down to us. Listen, it's okay. I'm going to tell you guys because I love you. And we're going to stand on the truth in this house. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, warning, explicit Holy Spirit content ahead of us. Amen. You guys got the warning? We good? Amen. All right now. Don't say I didn't warn you. God's, the truth will set you free. Amen. Let me ask you guys a question. Did you know that the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen on some random religious holiday? But in perfect alignment with God's appointed times? Think about that for a second. God does not move randomly. God doesn't redeem randomly. He does not fulfill prophecy randomly. He moves by His word, hallelujah. He moves by His timing, and He moves, if you didn't know, by His calendar. Come on. And see, people ask me this week, Pastor Jeff, why does it matter so much? Why does it matter so much? The kids are just having fun, man. It's just an Easter egg hunt, man. It's just an Easter bunny, man. No big deal. Why does it matter so much? The kids just want to have fun. Why are you making such a big deal about this? Just let them celebrate how they want to celebrate and leave it alone. It matters to me. It matters to me because what God says matters. Hallelujah. Not what makes man comfortable. God said, what relationship does light have with darkness? God said, don't worship me the same way the nations worship their gods. Because truth is not measured by tradition. Truth is measured by the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Because if God said it, we can't soften it up. We can't reshape it. We can't rename it or replace it just because culture likes it better. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost. Already, baby. This ain't about Easter bunnies. This ain't about colored eggs. It's not about candy baskets with hollow springtime tradition. This ain't about dressing up deception until it looks harmless. This ain't about taking man-made traditions and wrapping them up in religious language until people stop questioning it. This ain't about making people comfortable with the things of God that He never commanded. See, here at Liberty Life, we don't gather to celebrate religious culture. Amen. We gather to proclaim the revealed truth of God. Yay. We're not here to dress up lies with pastel colors. Come on, somebody. We're not here to baptize man-made tradition and call it holy. We're not here for symbols that have nothing to do with the cross, nothing to do with the blood, and nothing to do with the empty tomb. Hallelujah. Yay. Listen, and I know this truth can make some people uncomfortable. But guess what? The truth has always made people uncomfortable. The prophets made people uncomfortable. John the Baptist made people uncomfortable. The apostles made people uncomfortable. And guess what? Jesus made some people uncomfortable with the truth. And listen, if my version of preaching never confronts anything, if I never expose anything, if I never challenge anything, then I ain't preaching with the Holy Ghost. It's just performance with the microphone. You know what? You guys need to be confronted. People need their assumptions confronted. We need our traditions confronted. We need every lie that has sat comfortably at the table in our lives to be challenged by the authority of God, not our opinions. You can't be set free by a lie. You can't be transformed by tradition. You can't be redeemed by some cultural substitute. Guess what? The Easter Bunny and the eggs can't do nothing for you. Only Jesus can do something for you. Come on. Hallelujah. You need truth. Amen. We need truth. I need truth. And here in this house, we will speak truth. Hallelujah. Whether it's popular or not, we're going to speak truth. Whether the religious spirit gets offended, and trust me, it is, we're going to speak the truth. Because we're not called to protect people from the truth. We're called to proclaim the truth to the people, because the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. Listen to me. We're here today because Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and on the third day He rose again in power and glory. We're here today because the Son of God stepped into death and came out victorious. We're here today because the grave could not hold Him. We're here because the hell could not silence Him. We're here because the stone rolled away and the risen Christ still reigns. This ain't Easter here. It ain't Easter here. This is resurrection truth. This is first fruits. This is the testimony of the living Christ. I'll say it plainly. We don't build our faith on rabbits and eggs around here. We build our faith on the crucified Lamb and the risen King. Hallelujah. See, the resurrection of Jesus is not just some event to celebrate. We have to realize it's a fulfillment to understand. It's a pattern to behold. It's a victory to enter into. Yes. In Leviticus 23, when the harvest began, Israel was commanded to bring the first sheaf of the barley of the harvest to the priest. And it was to be weighed before the Lord on behalf of the people. They were not to eat till the new grain and the first offering had been presented. That first portion belonged to God. And it signaled something, that a harvest, a full harvest had begun. Later on, in practice, they connected this season to the Omer offering and started counting towards Shavuot. Does anybody know how much an Omer is? It's like a tenth of an ephah. Yeah, we need to get in the word, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's just a little side joke, lining up. But listen, why this is important is Paul said by the Holy Spirit that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means Jesus didn't rise up as some private miracle. He rose as the first fruits. He rose as the beginning. He rose as the representative. He rose as a guarantee that everyone who belongs in him will follow into resurrection life. So I'm sorry if you came here today to hear some little seasonal sermon. I didn't come to give some quiet talk and send everybody home unchanged. I came to preach with some resurrection force today. I came to preach until your faith gets stirred up. I came to preach until hope rises in the room. Until dead places start to rise up and have life again and shake under the power of the risen Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Feel the Holy Ghost, man. This is the message of first fruits. The lamb was slain. The tomb is empty. The first fruits has been presented and the harvest has begun.
Yes.
And if Christ is the first fruits, we have to understand something. That death is not the end. Grave is not the end. The grave is not the end. The story is not over. Your weeping is not forever. Your suffering is not final. And the people of God do not gather around some dead religion. We gather around the living Christ.
Yes.
So you got to let every tradition bow, every lie be broken, every substitute be exposed, and let Jesus Christ resurrect the sound of death. Because he is alive. Jesus is risen. Jesus is the first fruits. And because he lives, there's a guarantee that a harvest is coming. Amen. You guys with me?
Hallelujah.
We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, oh God. Starting at 20. 15, 20. But now the Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Amen? My first point is his resurrection was appointed by God. Listen to me. The resurrection of Jesus was not random. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't heaven improvising on Calvary. Or God trying to recover from some tragic moment. It was appointed. Look at your neighbor and say, it was appointed. Before the stone was ever rolled away, God had already established a pattern. Before the women ran to the tomb, God had already written the script. Before the angels announced he is not here, but he is risen, the Lord had already spoken it through his appointed times. In Leviticus 23, the first fruit offering were not brought whenever the people felt like it. It was not casual. It was not informal. It was not optional. It was appointed in the calendar of God as the consecrated beginning of the harvest. So when Jesus rose, it didn't just happen around the time of first fruits. He rose with first fruits meaning. He rose in divine timing. He rose in covenant order and he rose in prophetic fulfillment.
Yes,
hear me. Listen, the cross was not an interruption. The tomb was not a failure. The resurrection was not an emergency response. It was the plan of God all along.
Yes.
Pilate didn't write the ending. Rome didn't write the ending. Pharisees didn't write the ending. Hell didn't write the ending. God wrote the ending. And when God writes the ending, no devil in hell can ever overturn what heaven has spoken. And see, some of you need that truth to hit more than the message today. You need it to hit your spirit. Because if the resurrection was appointed, come on, Josh, your redemption was appointed. Hallelujah. If resurrection was appointed, you guys, deliverance was appointed. If resurrection was appointed, then Christ was never hanging on a chance. See, you may have gone through some loss. Yeah. We go through pain. Yeah, we go through seasons of silence and we go through seasons where it looked like darkness might have got the upper hand. But the God who appointed the resurrection still knows how to move in your life.
Yes.
See, God isn't nervous in tomb seasons. He's not panicking in the dark. God isn't looking at the stone saying it's too heavy. He knows what he's decreed. He knows what he's promised. He knows in the hour he's going to act. Listen to me. When God says something, stones move. When God says now, death breaks. Hallelujah. When God says something, the graves open up. When God says now, darkness comes into life, comes into darkness and takes dominion over life. You hear me? And God's called us to do the same. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on. He is good and he is worthy. Let's go over to Leviticus 23. Start at 9. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be worth 2/10 of an ephah, of the fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your Lord. Check this part out. For anybody who has anything to say about understanding the appointed times. It shall be a statute sometimes. It shall be a statute just for the Jews. It shall be a statute just for them, just for that day, just for that year. No, it says it shall be a statute forever. You think when God says forever, he means forever?
Yes.
Oh, you don't think that he's sovereign enough to know where this was going to go?
Yeah.
He means forever, right?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. Throughout all your generations, throughout your generations, in all your dwellings. Amen?
Yeah.
Does that mean us too?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm glad we have the truth in this house. Hallelujah. My second point is his resurrection represents a coming harvest. Listen, the first fruits were never the full harvest. They were the beginning of it. They were the first sign. They were the first evidence. The first visible portion declaring what? That more was on the way. That's why Paul does not just say Christ rose. He says Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Do you know that's what all of our faith rests upon? That Jesus didn't get up from the grave for himself. He got up as the representative of all people who follow him,
yes,
as the covenant head of a new creation, as the sheep that tells the field the harvest is coming.
Yes.
Come on. His resurrection is not only his testimony, it is our promise.
Yes.
His victory is not only his vindication, it's the guarantee to everyone who belongs to him. Because if the first fruits has been accepted, then the harvest is secured. Come on, somebody, listen to this. Let this hit your spirit. If the first fruits is accepted, and it's been accepted, the harvest is secured. Hallelujah. That means the grave doesn't get the last word over saints. That means that death doesn't have permanent ownership over the redeemed. It means the cemetery is not the end of the story to those who belong to Jesus. That's why the church doesn't grieve like the world grieves. Yeah, we cry. Yeah, we ache and we miss those who have gone before us.
Yes.
But we don't collapse into hopelessness.
That's right.
Because Christ, the first fruits, has already gone before us.
Yes.
And because he got up, everyone belongs to him will be raised in the order by his power.
Yes.
Death does not win. The grave doesn't win. Decay does not win. Hell wins. Somebody say Jesus wins. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And when Jesus wins, his people win with him. Hallelujah. Can I take it a little deeper?
Yes, come on.
First fruits doesn't only speak of a future resurrection. Did you guys know that? It declares that a season has changed. When the first sheaf was brought to the Lord, it meant the field was no longer barren. It meant a season had turned. It meant harvest life had begun. And when Jesus came out of that tomb, he announced more than his own victory. He announced a new age. He announced the defeat of death.
Yes.
He announced that resurrection life has now begun to invade the earth. Amen. Listen to me. Don't tell me your house is too far gone.
No, it's not.
Don't tell me your heart is too hard.
That's right.
Don't tell me your future is too ruined. The first fruits has come. That means that barren seasons are not the final for the people of God.
Yes.
Look at somebody and say, there's more coming.
There's more.
Come on. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. If you didn't know, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
My third point is his resurrection demonstrates the power of God. Listen, when the women came to the tomb in Luke 24, they came with spices. That means they came prepared for death. They came expecting a body. They came ready for mourning. They weren't coming to celebrate. They were coming to grieve. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. The tomb was open and the body was gone. And heaven was declaring, he's not here. He has risen.
Yes.
Listen to me. The resurrection is not just some metaphor. The resurrection is not just poetic language. It's just not a symbolic inspiration. Listen to me. The resurrection is power. I'm talking real power. I'm talking explosive power, Josh. I'm talking stone moving power. I'm talking grave emptying power. I'm talking body raising power. Hell shaming power. Addiction breaking power. I'm talking new life power. Hallelujah. I'm talking power. The same power lives in you today. That rose Jesus up from the grave. Come on, somebody. The same Jesus whose back got torn up. The same Jesus whose hands were pierced got up. The same Jesus whose feet was nailed got up. The same Jesus who was wrapped up, buried, sealed, and guarded. Guess what? He got up. Hallelujah. I'm saying he got up. He got up. And guess what? He didn't crawl out uncertain. He didn't crawl out the grave uncertain. He didn't stagger out defeated. He didn't do none of that. He didn't limp out trying to recover. No, he got up with glory. Hallelujah. He got up with glory and triumph. There's no grave deep enough to hold God. There's no power hard enough to hold a demon. There's no curse ancient enough to stop the power of God. There's no chain strong enough to hold the power of God. Let me tell you, the same power that was in Jesus lives in you today. And start walking like it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Resurrection power is the greatest power. And it's living inside of you today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. This is why I can't stay quiet on a day like this. Come on. We're not just celebrating an idea. We're responding. We're responding to a living power. Come on, somebody. We're not just defending doctrine. We're beholding victory. Come on, we're beholding glory. This is why we clap. This is why we shout. This is why we lift our hands and tears roll down our face in worship. This is why we praise. This is why praise erupts in the sanctuary. The same power that was in Jesus lives in you today. Guess what? The Holy Spirit didn't retire. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, he ain't retired. Holy Spirit still convicting. Come on, somebody. That power still heals. He's still delivering. He's still reviving. He's still feeling. He's still breaking yokes. Come on. Listen to me. There's people in this room that the enemy thought he had you in a tomb. A tomb of addiction. Come on, somebody. A tomb of fear. A tomb of shame. A tomb of bitterness. A tomb of despair. A tomb of compromise. A tomb of dead religion. But I believe I came under assignment today. I came under assignment to tell you that resurrection power is still moving today. And if resurrection power can invade a sealed grave, I promise you it can invade your situation. If resurrection power can invade an empty tomb, it can break your bondage. It can raise you out of what the enemy thought he had you buried in. Come on. Stop acting like your tomb's too deep. Ain't no pit dark enough for Jesus. He can enter it. Ain't no grave so shut that Christ can't break into it. And there ain't no there's no night so long that resurrection morning won't break through. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Listen to me. He is alive. And because he is alive, power is in this room. You know you have power in living inside of you? Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. All right, we're going to go to Luke 24, 1 through 8. You guys liking this?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
That's my
Amen. We got to seek the truth, man. The enemy don't like it. He's been attacking me all week. It's okay, though. He ain't getting me distracted. I tell you, he ain't distracting me from this. Amen. Let's read Luke 24, 1 through 8. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Come on, somebody. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. My fourth point is his resurrection releases life now, not only later. Listen, first fruits speaks of a future bodily resurrection. Yes. Thank God that there's a coming day when all of us who belong to Christ will be raised up in glory. Hallelujah. Paul says, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, then those who belong to him. But don't mistake the pushing of the resurrection into the future. Because if Jesus is alive now, then his life touches us now. Amen. That means that dead things come alive again now. Prayer comes alive again. Passion comes alive again. Purity comes alive again. Joy comes alive again. Hope and vision come alive again. Weary people, weary churches will come alive again. Hallelujah. See, some people came in this room breathing, but not living. They came in smiling, but empty. They came in functioning, but spiritually exhausted. Came in here carrying old wounds, old fears, old disappointments, old cycles, old heaviness. But let me tell you something. Jesus did not rise so you could merely survive. He rose so you could live. Listen to me. Live free. He rose so you could live clean, live holy, live awake, live empowered, live spirit-filled, and live under the rule of Jesus Christ. See, the enemy wants a powerless church, a church without the language of the fire, the Holy Ghost, a church full of attendance without encounter, a church full of tradition without truth, a church full of religion without resurrection life. But the resurrection of Jesus destroys that powerless version of Christianity, because the risen Christ doesn't merely improve people. He raises them up. He doesn't decorate the old man up. He breaks the old order. He doesn't just manage dysfunction. He brings a newness to life. And all those who are in Christ are a new creation. See, listen to me. Y'all don't need some motivational speech. You need resurrection to hit your spirit. You need heaven to breathe on dry places. You need the stone rolled off your heart. You need Jesus to speak life where the enemy spoke death. I believe he's doing it. I believe he's stirring up a remnant. Hallelujah. I believe dead prayer lives are waking up. I believe tired believers are catching on fire again. I believe bound people are being loosed. I believe shame is breaking in this room right now. Heaviness is lifting up. And I still believe in the voice of the risen Christ is still calling people out of what's buried them. Because when Jesus lives, dead things cannot stay dead around them. You cannot stay dead with the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on. My fifth point is his resurrection demands a response. I said his resurrection demands a response. See, here's my thing. You can't hear about the appointed times or first fruits and just remain neutral. If you got it in your spirit and you hear this, there should be a connection, a spark to make you dive deeper to the things of truth. Because when it comes to first fruits, the principle of first fruits is that the first belongs to God. The first and the best are his. The first portion is consecrated to him. And we acknowledge that the whole harvest belongs to him. Yes. So if Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, The only right way to respond is to bring him your whole life.
Yes.
I'm talking not part of you. Not the part you like to give up and you like to go home and lock the door and stay behind a closed door where nobody sees you and keep that part. I'm talking about not just the Sunday language, why your heart belongs somewhere else. I'm not talking about your give him your outward appearance when the inward appearance is still hidden and compromised and stays buried underneath.
Right.
I'm talking about all of you.
All of it.
He wants all of you. He wants all your mind. He wants all your mouth. He wants all your habits. He wants all your body. He wants all your desires. He wants all your relationships. He wants all your future. And he wants, get this, all your obedience.
Yeah.
Did you guys know obedience is greater than sacrifice?
Yes.
Listen to me. You cannot say that he got up and still keep lying down in your sin.
Ooh, that's exactly right.
You can't celebrate an empty tomb while clinging on to dead things. And you can't shout about the resurrection while making peace with compromise. You cannot have resurrection celebration without resurrection surrender. You can't have resurrection celebration without resurrection surrender. Some people want Jesus alive for comfort, but not alive as Lord. They like him as Savior. They don't like him as Lord. See, they want the victory without yielding. They want promise without repentance. Come on, somebody. They want hope without holiness. They want the power without surrendering. You want Holy Ghost power? You want supernatural power? Guess what? You got to surrender it all to God. The first fruits says the first belong to God. And if the first belong to God, then the harvest cannot live for itself. I'm telling you, today the Spirit of God is calling you higher.
Yes.
To come out of lukewarmness. Yes. To come out of mixture. To come out of dead routines, out of secret compromise, out of hidden sin. Come out of a spiritual sleep and come out
yes.
of dead religion.
That's right.
Listen to me. The risen Christ ain't looking for admirers. He's looking for a surrendered people. He doesn't need your applause. He don't need your money. He's looking for your consecration. He don't need spectators in the seats. He's looking for a holy people filled with resurrection life. If he got up, you cannot stay down.
No.
Listen to me. This is why we're here. We're not here for eggs or bunnies, for hollow tradition.
No.
We're not here for some soft religious moment that fades by Monday morning.
That's right.
We're here because Christ is alive.
Yes.
He was crucified. He was buried. He entered the silence of death, but on the third day, the stone was moved, death was broken, and Jesus Christ rose as the first fruits of those who sleep. That means the harvest has begun. That means death has been answered. That means the future of the church is alive in Christ. That means the grave is no longer final. That means the power of God has already invaded the dominion of death and has come out victorious. He's victorious. And don't miss this. He rose in alignment with the appointed time of God.
Yep.
Not on man's tradition, not on man's invention, not on a date shaped by culture, but in the fulfillment of the holy calendar of God.
Yes.
He rose as first fruits exactly where God said he would move, exactly where God said he would do it, and exactly how he said he would reveal it. Don't be ignorant to the things of God. Don't be. And why does first fruits matter? Because first fruits is not some Jewish agricultural show. It's a divine appointment that's found its fulfillment in the risen Christ.
Yay.
God set the appointed time. God established the pattern. God received the first fruits. And because the first fruits has been accepted, that's our guarantee that the harvest is on the way. So we don't stand here today celebrating some religious custom. We stand here bearing witness to the appointed times of God and that they still testify to Christ. A lamb was slain at the appointed time. A tomb was emptied at the appointed time. And the first fruits was appointed on time. And because God keeps his appointed times,
yes.
we will also know how he's going to finish what he started.
Yes.
Amen. Listen to me. When the priest took the sheaf, that's when he took the sheaf of barley, he waved it. He was doing more than just moving grain through the air. He was saying the first belongs to God. He was declaring that the harvest did not come by our strength, doesn't come by our power or our ability, but by the hand of the Lord. And the beautiful thing is, Scripture doesn't even have to give us long speeches because the act itself was preaching. The wave was the message. This belongs to God first. This is holy unto the Lord. And if the first is accepted, then the rest can follow.
Yes.
That's why this matters so much today. Jesus just didn't get up from the grave for himself. He rose as the first fruits for each and every one of you. He rose as a holy presentation before the Father that guarantees everybody that belongs to him will follow after. So when the tomb opened, heaven was making an announcement that the first fruit had been presented and the first fruit has been accepted. Because the first fruit has been received, there is a harvest on the way. Today we just don't celebrate just an empty tomb. We stand in the power of first fruits. We stand in the certainty of resurrection. We stand in the confidence that because he lives, we live also. Amen. I'll get my worship team up here. Listen, if you need resurrection power in your life, respond to this message. Can I get my altar team up here?
Yeah, learn about the feast.
If you need to come out of compromise, respond. If you need deliverance, come forward. If you've been spiritually cold and you need the fire of God again, come forth. If you've been living in the shame of addiction or fear or compromise, come get prayer. He wants you to live again. He wants you to be alive in Christ. And listen, don't get caught up in things just because it's been handed down to you. Amen? Just because it makes you feel good doesn't mean it's good. I only want the truth of God to reign. That's all I want. If anybody needs any prayer, please come forward.
Yes.
He's alive. Amen. He is risen. Indeed. The first fruits have been presented and it has been accepted.
Yes.
And that's the guarantee that we rest our faith upon. Amen?
Amen.
Bless you, Lord. If you need prayer, come forward. Hallelujah.